We've been doing Peace Month for the month of January, and since we deviated from that last Sunday, we're going to continue with that theme today. Jesus teaches a message of peace and forgiveness and love, for which we are so grateful. And while we wish that we lived in a world without war, we find that it's all around us. But it's really interesting to me that the Bible uses war imagery. And really, because we are involved in a war, a spiritual war, a war in which we embrace the victory of Christ and put on the full armor of God. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20, it talks about how we need to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His power, and to put on this whole armor so that we can stand against the principalities and the powers and against the evil that is present in our world. And that really our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it is against the authorities and the cosmic powers of this present darkness and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And then it goes on to tell us what to do about that. That we're not just stuck in this eternal struggle for which we are defenseless. And he tells us to go on and to take on the whole armor of God, to wear the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes to proclaim the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. And then the author ends this section with a call to prayer, to pray in the Spirit at all times and in every prayer and supplication, and tells us to be alert and to pray for each other and to be focused on this which is of God. I want to share a story. Most of you, or probably all of you that are here today, know about Quaker Cove, a camp that we are own with other churches in the Puget Sound area up and near Anacortes. There, three or four years ago, there were two caretakers in a row that died at the camp. The second one was murdered at the camp by his granddaughter and her boyfriend. And in a conversation with the person that was the director of the camp board at that time, they asked me if I would come and lead a cleansing of the camp over Memorial Day weekend. There was a large gathering of people that were to be there for the weekend from our Puget Sound area Friends churches. And they asked me to come and just to lead a spiritual cleansing over the camp. I invited Patty Federighi to go with me. I wanted somebody that I knew would understand all of this. And we really began with acknowledging that there was a spiritual battle over the presence of this camp. There were struggles that had gone on for a long time. The camp was very rustic, and it seemed like people put in countless hours to improve the camp, really to not much avail. It wasn't getting much better, and there were constant kind of difficulties. So we began acknowledging that that spiritual battle is real. And then Patty reminded us of our spirit weapons and used this passage in Ephesians to talk about the fact that we aren't left defenseless against this spiritual presence here that is unsettling to many of us. People, either from here or from outside of even the Puget Sound area, had told me that they couldn't stay up at the camp just because there was this unholy presence that was there. It was a difficult place. So we started by just really naming all the negative stuff that had happened at the camp over many, many, many years. I had an overhead projector, one of those old-fashioned things that we used to write on, and I wrote down, as people would name the thing that had happened, whether it be this murder or other things that had happened over the entire life of the camp, we wrote them down on this presence, on this sheet, listed everything that we could think of. And then we talked about that we have power, spiritual power, over those unholy acts that had taken place at the camp. And that we had the spiritual authority to, as the owners of the camp, as the people of God in this place, to cast out the unholy spirits that had taken up residence there and had snared so many people in that. And then we walked around the camp. We went to every building on the camp and we named that there was unholy spirits in this particular building, and we cast them out. In the name of the and power of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we commanded that those unholy spirits must leave that building, must leave the families that had lived there and the occupants, and we were pretty specific in naming how it had to go and be gone to the ends of the earth. We walked all over the camp casting out those negative spirits in every building. And as we got to those places on that list, you know, when you write on things with that kind of marker for an overhead projector, you can erase them. So when we got to those places on the list where the thing that was bad had happened, we erased it off the list. Because they're gone, as far as the east is from the west. And then, after we had gone around the entire camp and cast out all the unholy spirits, the kids joined us. Now, they'd been off making noisemakers and praise signs and all kinds of fun things. So the kids joined us, and we walked around the entire camp in a victory march, singing praises to Jesus, who had redeemed this place. And now there's a new beginning up at Quaker Cove. Liz and Carl have come, and they with their children have gone to work at Quaker Cove. There are changes up there that you can't believe. The income and a number of people staying at the camp has probably grown about tenfold. It is an amazing place to see the transformation that God is doing. And I really go back to that as a key place of naming and casting out the unholy presence that had taken up residence in this place. Not because we wanted it, but because we didn't say no. And we needed to stand against that unholy presence. Quakers have language for this, and they call it the Lamb's War. Whoops, got to go the right way. A lamb is an innocent animal, and the phrase the Lamb's War seems like a real paradox. I think, in fact, it is. The innocent lamb at war. Yet this is part of this counter-violent message of peace and forgiveness and love. The little lamb can overcome the hate, the violence, and evil. The Lamb's War is a Quaker... The Lamb's War is a Quaker teaching, really, that began with James Naylor and George Fox and other early Quakers. And in the words of T. Canby Jones, he describes it this way. The Lamb's War is an eschatological vision in which all obedient followers of Christ, the King, who is at once the suffering and all-conquering Lamb, enlist in a total and unending struggle against evil in all of its forms in this present world, until the Lamb and his army win victory, and the history comes to an end with the triumph of good over evil and the coming of God to dwell with people. We often think when we talk about the Lamb, we think of John 1:29, where it says, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And really, Christ as that kind of lamb really emphasizes the forgiveness of sin, which is an important understanding. But Fox also relied on another understanding of the Lamb of God, one that is found in the book of Revelation. And I'm going to read Revelation 17, chapter 17, verses 13 and 14, as just one example of this. These are united in yielding their power and authority to the beast. They will make war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those with him are called and chosen and faithful. This understanding of the Lamb's war really begins with an inward dimension in which there can be transformation of our beings, of our inner beings, and that there can be an inner work in which sin loses all power over us. And the kingdom of God is realized both within us and without us. For Quakers, it was never simply and solely an inward work. And I think that's one of the things that we have really emphasized throughout our history. This new life must be lived out as it moves beyond our being, and as we follow our leadings as they come. For early Quakers, then, they really began to find ways of expressing their internal beliefs, what they knew to be true within their being. The Lamb's War is an expression of equality, and it meant that Quakers couldn't take off their hats in hat honor to those that were a status above them, nor could they bow in honor to those that were considered gentry or of the government or of the kings or whatever position would be considered above them. They also used the common language to all people, the common language of thee and thou to all people, regardless of their status. It got them in trouble. And since Christ forbade it, their friends refused to swear an oath, causing many of them to go to prison. Many, many, many Quakers were in prison because they refused to swear an oath. They broke the law by simply meeting for worship. And when the soldiers would bar the doors and not allow them to enter into the meeting houses, they simply met in the courtyard outside until they were also taken to prison. Friends invented fair sale prices as a testimony against cheating that was common in haggling over prices. And Quakers offered fair treatment for the insane and just treatment for Indians and for blacks. And all of these were aspects of the Lamb's War, of living out the truth that they knew within their being in ways that fleshed it out in their society. George Fox stressed that the Lamb's War will put an end to the ways in which the church abandoned the truth. Believing that the church had really become a human invention full of religiosity and that was devoid of the full presence of Christ. And they fully believed that Christ had come to end this apostasy of the church through the Lamb's War. Hence their commitment to simply waiting in the presence of God and giving Christ full leadership in their gathered times. And while divesting themselves of human interference and rules as much as possible. Fox and early Quakers so firmly believed in the judgment and the final victory of the Lamb that they could suffer violence and imprisonment, confident that the Lord would redeem them, not that they would not suffer, not that they somehow would escape difficult times, but that in the end, it was God's place and act of redemption that would be meaningful. They expected that all human rulers and powers would come to their end in this Lamb's War, that false justices, rulers and magistrates would be unseated. And they were confident in the widespread overthrow of social and ecclesiastical evil. They said it was not only imminent for the near future, but that it was already happening. And that the Quakers were the spiritual revolutionaries to speed it along, to enact it in real ways in their world. All weapons of the Lamb's War are spiritual, just as we read earlier and found in Ephesians chapter 6 and in the book of Revelation. None of this is about physical punishment and killing, nor is it a defense that says we can use physical force because it's alluded to in Scripture. It's really about the victory of faith and the triumph of spirit over the spiritual forces of evil. Just as we prayed up at Quaker Fove to cast out the spiritual forces of evil that had taken up residence. Quakers saw this same heavenly conflict was going here on earth, that the conflicts in the heavens, the spiritual conflict in the heaven was being played out upon earth, and that they were called to fight against it in the Lamb's army with the weapons of the Lamb, this truth and righteousness and peace, and that they would enact out this fight with those weapons as members of the Lamb's army. And that victory comes by faith and by following the mind of Christ. And so they participate in an eternal victory. Early Quakers also spoke truth to power. They went directly to the leaders of the government with their message. We have stories of George Fox going to Cromwell and of William Penn going to Charles II and James II, and there are other stories. And there was a strict sense of justice in refusal to leave jail when they were invited to leave, unless the judge admitted that he had done it wrong. So they didn't, you mean I just get out free? I get out of free jail card? No. Justice had to be enacted, and there needed to be a recognition, not just get rid of those troublesome Quakers. I don't want them in this jail. Four Quakers were hung on Boston Commons because they wouldn't stay banished from the colony. These were all actions in the Lamb's army. The Lamb's of War universal mission was to bring everyone to an inward knowledge of Christ and of Christ's power. Early friends were convinced that they lived in the same life and power as the prophets in the Old Testament and as the apostles in the New Testament. They sent missionaries to the Sultan of Turkey, King Louis of France, and the Pope in Rome. Fox wrote letters to the kings of Spain, Austria, and the Grand Turk. They warned that they were about to be judged by the Lamb for their wrongdoing. But they also shared with them the heart of their faith, this transforming grace which comes and changes us. Early Quakers had a zeal to remake all of Christendom, and if possible, all of non-Christendom, over to that which looked like the peaceable gospel, the kingdom of the Lamb, the kingdom of God. Early friends spoke enthusiastically of the coming victory of the Lamb, and they saw it happen all around them and believed that Christ would bring it to completion. The victory of the Lamb would bring in the reign of virtue and love and peace. And Fox said that in this victory of the Lamb, nothing shall reign or rule but righteousness itself. But then we ask, how can this be? Given the persecution that the Quakers faced, this severe and ongoing persecution, and today we see anything but the reign or rule of righteousness. And I think we need to pause and see the results of this Lamb's War, much as early Quakers saw it. First, They really believed that the original spirit and power of the apostles and the gospel are restored. Early Quakers and we today believe that we can live in the full power of the gospel of Christ. The Spirit has not gone into hiding. Nor is spiritual power reserved for the unusual time or place. Maybe when I'm really, really, really desperate, then God might show up if I do it just right. And so we sing songs begging Christ to come. But the presence of God, the power of God is here. And as Fox often said, the power of the Lord is over all, over every one of us today. The full presence of God. Second, through the victory of the Lamb, the fallen nature of humans will be restored. One of the tellings that I particularly like is where Fox talked about going back through the flaming sword into the Garden of Eden, where he knew a new way of being that should never fall. That he could live in this full power of what it meant to be a redeemed, a new creature, full of Christ. And that in that there was a new power, that he need not fall, that he need not submit to the forces of evil swirling about, but that he could live in the power and the fullness of the Spirit. And that the Lamb will restore those who are fallen to this new way of being. That we all, every one of us, can enter back in through the flaming sword into the Garden of Eden. Into that place where we live with Christ. Third, as a result of both the Lamb's war, a result of the Lamb's war, and part of the ongoing Lamb's war, sons and daughters are going out joyfully in the power and strength of the Almighty. They went out. We have stories of the Valiant 60 and of how Fox and others went across the known world carrying forth this message that they felt so strongly. And you know, the truth is that has happened. As we've looked over the history of Just North Seattle Friends Church, we've named a numerous people that have been sent out from this place in the power of God to go forth and do that to which they were called. Sons and daughters are going out joyfully in the power and strength of the Almighty. And the climactic result of this Lamb's war is a new heaven and a new earth. Early friends believed that this new heaven and new earth was already coming into being. There was a new covenant with humanity, a new Jerusalem coming down from heaven to earth, a life-giving tree planted by living waters whose leaves will be for the healing of nations. George Fox heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God with people. The tabernacle of God is with people, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be their God with them. And this we witness, blessed be the Lord who dwelleth with his people." And our response to this cosmic and universal victory in the Lamb's War is to sing praises to our God. I love it that when they experienced the quaking, those gathered had so much energy that they could only dance. They had to move in the power of the Spirit that was present, that was tangible. And so we must sing praises. We must move. We must allow this power to not only be within and then somehow stop it because we don't want to be unseemly out there, but to allow it to flow and be present all around us. The saints of the Lamb sing in triumph over all who oppose them. Again, Revelation 17:14, the Lamb will conquer them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and those with him are called and chosen and faithful. And then in Revelation 22, it says, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him, and they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and there will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. May that light shine brighter and brighter in our presence. Let us wait in the presence of the light, who shines brighter than any light and illumines us, teaches us, transforms us, gives us the victory, and the power of the Lord is over all. Let us wait. Let us listen. Let us be faithful.